The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com. Call Midas Resources today to protect your future at 1-800-686-2237.
Welcome to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. How you doing in all those nooks and the crannies? Getting ready to talk about a couple of things that absolutely affect you where it counts, namely in the wallet. Anybody starting to have the sticker shock hit them when it comes to healthcare? I just had a neighbor who said to me I had no idea everybody would be talking about it and finally had their health care canceled and they had to get their own health care. And it tripled for them, tripled with just one kid. Said it was going to be really tough to have that happen. They were actually balancing, geez, do we do the dental or not? Because that adds on a little bit more. Where do we draw the line? And I think it's all about drawing the line in this country, isn't it? It really is. And we need solutions, I think, that work for the middle class. How about that? Because really it's the middle class that keeps getting stepped on. There's such a wide gap. And this isn't a rant to open this show. It's just what it is. We look at these bills, we look at the laws that are passed, we see what keeps happening with our taxes. And when is it that we get that break where it actually goes down? I'll tell you what, you keep a little notebook and you start watching what you're doing with those premiums. You start to look around and you start to see if what I've been told is, listen, people are jumping to the wrong conclusions. Give it a chance. You wait and see in a couple of years, it'll be in the opposite direction. It's just my experience. When you're told, wait until the law really takes effect and we iron out the problems, it'll be so much better, so much more affordable, and much better coverage. Usually that's when I get a little nervous. And speaking of nervous, it was kind of sad, actually, to see some of the photographs of the kids being fast-tracked, pushed on a plane back to Honduras. I say sad because, you know, I'm one of these people that really thinks we need to draw that line in the sand and say, we can't take anymore. This is ridiculous. We're overrun. We have no place to put anyone. We look barbaric. If we build giant warehouses, that would be ridiculous. And then we have to also get the money for that, allot the money for it, and add more Border Patrol agents. So we have to speed up the process. But you had kids that were the ones that I've described on the show, the 1 and the 2-year-olds who had big bug eyes with tears flying down their face. They had no idea, really, in a sense, what was happening. And, you know, ultimately, on this charter flight from Mexico to San Pedro Sula, which is the city with the highest murder rate in the world, you had 17 Honduran women and then 12 girls and 9 boys that were returned back home. And it was so sad to see the faces, actually. They're on a bus. They were given, but it's like, here's the balloons. It was strange. Here's some balloons. Here's some candy, kids. Bye-bye. And that's what happened. They're shipped off in the opposite direction. But this is the fault of the administration because of the people who spent the money to have a coyote or a guide or someone smuggling them in to the country. They get into the country, then they're detained, then they're processed, boom, and they're sent back. They don't get that money back. They're discouraged. They probably feel like cattle. But they shouldn't have been here in the first place. Unfortunately, they didn't get the message in Central America that, listen, this is what this policy was supposed to be. We're talking about kids that qualify, kids that have parents in the United States. So there is massive pressure now on the White House to address these unaccompanied kids. I mean, this is a humanitarian deal. It is. But it's also a survival deal for all of us in the United States, because you have now gang members who are trying to recruit when they're being detained young kids to become part of the gang, which is what was happening in Guatemala and El Salvador. They were being pushed toward the gang life. And now they're finding that when they come to the United States. And why? Because they're put in the path of those people again, which means those people are crossing the border and are part of the roundup from Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala. They suffered gang violence and drug cartels, and they tried to get out of there. And they saw this is the opportunity, the crack in the door. But the door is shutting. Shutting. And then we could be up to 150,000 unaccompanied kids under the age of 18 in this next year, leaving all three of the countries I just mentioned. Whose fault is this? Whose fault is this? And the president has to negotiate with the Republicans. He has no choice because the Republicans are blocking most of this agenda. So if he really wants to get the money, he's going to have to cut a deal with the Republicans. He's going to have to do that. I read a story in the Washington Post that the problem with the Republicans is they offer no solutions. They're ranting, they're spewing, but they don't have an alternative. The New Jersey governor says that the unrest that you see in the Middle East is caused in some measure, not completely, but in some measure, by the fact that this president has not acted in a decisive, consistent way. I agree. I don't always agree with Chris Christie. I agree with him when it comes to the Middle East, and I agree with him. And Christie says this is part of the problem as well when you look at our immigration policies. And this is the falling down point of Obama's second term. All these executive actions, but specifically focused on immigration. What a blunder it is, because by not having the DREAM Act passed, and by saying, oh, well, I'm going to make something happen here. Something happened with nothing to back it up. You have to have a process in place if you're going to have this funnel of kids, gang people and others trying to get through. There has to be a way to process them correctly. Stay with us. Odds and ends on the flip side, including Phil Mickelson from the British Open. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment low-carbohydrate basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
It's such a different feeling for me coming over here now, having won this tournament. The way I felt was, am I ever going to come through and break through and play well on Lynx Golf and win an Open Championship? And now I know that I can. I know that I've done it, and it takes a lot of the pressure off me. But more than that, when I arrive as a past champion, it just feels terrific.
That's the voice of Phil Mickelson. The British Open underway, practice rounds. Interesting. A lot of people like to watch the British Open, even if you're not a big fan of golf, because of the scenery. And the course is pretty scenic, but it is pretty tough. You have bunkers that you have to walk down into using a ladder. That kind of sums it all up for you if you hit the ball into some of these bunkers, and then fescue all over the place, and some very thick, rough. Phil Mickelson, representing the United States, Tiger Woods, another American, who says he feels better with 14 majors under his belt. Will this be his 15th? You know, it's always about numbers, too, when it comes to sports and surpassing records. And the record that I think he'd like to surpass is Jack Nicklaus's 18 majors. Will he do that? If you think when he's older, give him 15 years. 2008 was really bad for him. He blew up his life with all the shenanigans, and I think it more than hurt his golf game. And then he's dealt with injuries lately. So he may bounce back and surprise a few people. Speaking of bouncing back, somebody asked me today whether I thought Rick Perry was going to run for president, because suddenly he's on a lot of shows, he's looking a little bit different, and has plenty to say about immigration, which is the hot button right now across the country. I think it always has been, but it keeps getting buried because nobody wants to touch it. Now we can't ignore it because of the president's policy and the Border Patrol and Homeland Security dealing with the situation at our border. So Governor Rick Perry and Senator Rand Paul, names that are there on the bench as possibilities anyway. But what happened is the two apparently kind of went after each other. So, I don't know. Is that taking, somebody said that's taking the, somebody told me that's taking the play, that's taking a page out of the playbook. Go after the leader. Go after the people that are questioning, is Senator Rand Paul really the right choice? And go back and forth on one of the tougher topics. So Perry, who now just got some buzz because of his criticism of President Obama on the border crisis, and the fact that he forced a meeting with the Prez, basically, forced him into it, did an op-ed for the Washington Post, and in the piece, he said Paul was an isolationist whose approach to Iraq and other hotspots would compound the threat of terrorism and endanger our national security. He wrote, I don't believe that we should have wait-and-see foreign policy, and he is drawing his own red line along the water's edge, creating a giant moat where superpowers can retire from the world. So Paul, and which is why I brought it up, had his own op-ed in Politico magazine on Monday, and that talked about the Texas governor as beholden to a reckless interventionist model that is rooted simply in bluster. He even took a little bit of a swipe at the new eyeglasses that the governor of Texas is wearing, saying Perry's horn rims have not altered his perception of the world or allowed him to see it more clearly. And said how many Texan mothers and fathers will Governor Perry ask to send their children to fight in Iraq? And just said, I said in this op-ed piece, I won't hold my breath for an answer. So isn't that interesting? This is staking out territory and doing it through op-ed, doing it through an op-ed. It creates that buzz, builds them up as rivalries, and conceivably, this is, it's a crazy thing, but this is what happens. Conceivably, they end up with more money because of it. Milquetoast in the world of technology just doesn't do it. But then that brings up the argument is, what do you want to see in a president? Somebody who is a good speaker, well, we've been down that road, somebody who seems to have the ideology that you like, and then you're disappointed when they ultimately get into office. I mean, is it possible to get the guy who runs, or woman, who runs to be that same person when they actually take over the reins of the government, when they become the leader of the free world? I mean, there's the better question. Can we expect that? So you run on four or five different platforms, go out there, really push it to the limit. You're going to do this, and you're going to do that, and you're going to work with Congress, and you're going to make sure this happens. And the list is long. But then the reality sets in once you get in to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Oh, I just can't do that. I have to jump through a lot of hoops. So anybody who creates any kind of a buzz is certainly somebody who's got a chance at being there toward the end when the nominee is chosen. We know Rand Paul is on the list. We know that. We know Governor Chris Perry is on the list. Or Governor Chris Christie, rather, is on the list. We know that Rick Perry wants to be on the list, but will he be on the list this time around? And then what does the ticket look like? I mean, who knows? Maybe he's on the undercard, which is what I call the VP. because then you figure, okay, Texas is a big state, and even though Texas goes Republican, also there are others where that could cut into the interests of super, super conservatives. So I poo-pooed the idea of Rick Perry being the nominee, and I still do, but not necessarily as the VP. That wouldn't be shocking to me. Hey, coming up on this hour of America Tonight, we're going to talk to Stacey Washington about something super sensitive that's been really going on since Obama took office, and that's the cries of racism. But I say to you, is it fair or foul? And Stacey Washington from Project 21 has plenty to say on the subject, not liking the idea that voter ID, for example, is linked to, well, you're being racist because you're excluding blacks, especially Hispanics and others. And she talked about having to pull out her driver's license constantly to show it wherever she was, whether it was the bank or someplace else. And by the way, we have some interesting news. Hamas rejected the Gaza ceasefire, calling it submission, but now the Israel Security Cabinet accepted Gaza's ceasefire proposal. So how about that? That is huge. Because they're seeing, I think, what's happening with their own people. And it's been so intense. It's like a throwback to the 70s, the kind of fighting we're seeing between Israel and right there on that strip. So now there is a peace accord, a loose peace accord, because Israel's security cabinet just said yes to the Gaza ceasefire proposal. So that is a big deal. A huge deal. Because it's out of their control with what's going on with the human shield thing with Hamas, even though they dropped leaflets to try to tell people to steer clear of Hamas. So smart, I think, on Israel's part, too, to accept the ceasefire proposal for now. What's next? Boy, oh boy. Lots of conversations. And we're having them next here on America Tonight.
Springtime is save big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know spring is the time to stock up at herbalhealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for spring specials including our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia and Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Warwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for spring at herbalhealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to herbalhealer.com and click on Spring Specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids.
I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again.
I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen. A total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now, I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795. Call now. Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795.
Got a simple question for you. Can you sell?
Yes.
Okay, can you sell the intangible?
If yes, and you'd like to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, with no overtime, no weekends, if you're passionate about not closing sales, but about opening relationships, if you truly have a desire to serve global clients who need your advertising expertise, and you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable and a whiz on the phone, GCN wants to talk with you right now. GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, and we're hiring right now. We offer benefits and an excellent commission structure. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise@gcnlive.com. Again, that's advertise@gcnlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, an equal opportunity employer.
Okay, so here we go again. On America Tonight, we've talked about this a lot, especially with our friends from Project 21, but many of you as well have gotten a lot of emails in this direction. Eric Holder, the Attorney General, keeps pushing on this whole voter ID idea, saying that, you know, keeping up the attacks on polling places, protections, the voter ID, saying that those who want to protect against ghost voting steals the law-abiding votes of others, and they're trying to make it more difficult for blacks, Hispanics, and others to get in there and have access to the ballot. So, and this is on the heels of a few other things that happened last week. So we go back to the well again, and we talk about what is it? I don't understand this. How Holder, I think, especially, is so out of touch and very insulting, I believe, in many cases when he's interviewed about various things, especially when you hear what he has to say about the voter ID stuff, to black Americans. So Stacey Washington, Project 21 and talk radio host, joins us. And Stacey, I'll tell you what, when you look at what Holder said, I guess it was just last week, he was on ABC and he was on This Week, and he said that he and the president are being criticized, those who have a racial animus toward them. And he said, you know, people talking about taking their country back, there's a certain, and this is a direct quote, there's a certain racial component to this for some people. I don't think this is the thing that is the main driver, but some, there is racial animus. What was your initial reaction to that when you heard what he had to say on This Week?
Well, I mean, the first thing I thought was that it's kind of shocking the level of disconnect that he has with what's going on in this country in relation to how people feel about the policies of this president and the policies of the Attorney General's office as they've been executed throughout the 5 years that Barack Obama has been in office. There's a distinct difference between racial animus that propels people to oppose an individual for any reason and people genuinely objecting to policy positions and legislative actions and executive actions that have been taken by the Obama administration and by Eric Holder. And you can look and see a distinct pattern after the passage of Obamacare, the way that was handled, after the implementation of Obamacare, the backlash, the 13 unanimous decisions out of the Supreme Court opposing actions that have been taken by the Obama administration and Eric Holder. If you look at that, just factual, just put the people out of it. Yes, there are some racists in this country. Yes, there are people in this country who are completely disconnected and have no idea why they oppose the president except they just don't like his middle name. But the majority of the opposition that you find is so bipartisan in nature. It spans socioeconomics, it spans race, it spans regional, geographical, every kind of boundary and barrier and statistical anomaly that you can look at. All of the opposition to the president spans it and is centrally located and then divided between different populist groups in such a way that race cannot be the major attributing factor to the reason why people are disliking the things that this president and attorney general are doing.
Yeah, so maybe I'm answering my own question, but why keep beating this drum? Why do they do that?
I really, when I was thinking about this, and I received the, you know, hey, do you want to comment on this for Project 21? The first thing I thought about was in previous administrations, the attorney general, when under fire from the opposing party, would go straight to their judicial record. And they would say, here are the cases that we've tried on behalf of the American people. Here are the major criminals or companies that were engaged in wrongdoing that we have brought to justice. Here are the policies that we've undertaken under the direction of the administration, say the Bush administration, where we have advanced the cause of liberty or righted or wrong or brought someone to justice. We've never seen Eric Holder take that tack. So that tells me that either he isn't proud of his legislative accomplishments or there are none for him to use to support the things that he's been doing.
Yeah, so it's like a deflection, in other words.
But it's a little more nuanced than a deflection because even a person who has a half-and-half judicial record under their belt can deflect while still pointing to some record, hey, at least I won this, or this is something that I've done, and you don't like me because of X. But we never hear any mention of anything that Eric Holder has achieved in his official capacity that could be used to say, look, these are my accomplishments, and that's how I know this is racial, because I've accomplished all of these things, yet they still don't like me. That's, I think, the huge difference there. It is deflection, but it's nuanced in such a way that we have to really examine the underlying issue, which happens to be his lack of a record.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I agree with you on the record thing. It was the administration's call. Remember in the beginning, the first term, we're going to be the most transparent administration. We're tired of this. We're going to be different. And I have many, many friends that cover the White House and say, boy, it's anything but transparent. And a lot of it is exactly what you said, especially coming out of the Department of Justice. And what is the inherent danger here? Doesn't this, because I think this continues to hold our country back by saying things like that.
Well, I mean, I think people are really weary of it, and I see a lot of just the comments, and there's a lot of poking fun of anything that has to do with race nowadays, and I think it's kind of sad because there are still areas in this country where we could afford to sit down and have substantive conversations surrounding race and how we perceive each other and how we treat each other, but there's no room for that kind of serious conversation among adults. Because the children in the room, namely the Democrats, are so busy bandying about the race card in such a demeaning manner that it really precludes any serious conversation. And to be quite honest, people are so exhausted with it, we couldn't have a conversation even if people were willing.
Yeah, boy, I agree with that. I think that it's there's just so weary. That's the great word to use over all of this. What do you think? I mentioned the thing at the top about voter ID laws. What's your take on that?
Well, you know, okay, so here's the big deal. During the course of any given day, and I'm going to speak as a black woman, not that that's my primary identification, but for this particular subject, this is relevant, the fact that I happen to be black. On any given day, I am asked to show my ID card or give information from my Missouri driver's license or some other kind of ID, like a library card, pretty much every day. So every time I leave my house, the only time I'm not asked is if I don't leave my home. And when I say I'm asked, what I'm saying is I need it in order to get something that I want. If I want to buy alcohol, I have to present an ID. If I want to do certain things at government buildings, I need to present an ID. I have to prove where I live. This is because I'm a citizen of the United States that this expectation that I would have a valid ID is foisted upon me at every turn. And yet I've never once heard myself say, this is so racial, you asking me for my ID right now. Yet, when we talk about something that is integral and constitutional and a right that we have, you know, we hold dear to ourselves, namely voting, then all of a sudden, the same black woman, namely myself, who has presented her ID pretty much every day I've left the house, I'm unable to procure an ID. I'm unable to have an ID. Many, 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 many people who look like me are unable to procure an ID because they can't afford it or they can't get one because they lack the identification documents that are needed to get the ID. They don't have transportation to get the ID. But meanwhile, I've been traveling around, transporting myself, paying for, and otherwise taking care of myself in every other aspect of my life. It is ridiculous. And it's insulting. And I'm really surprised that with the identity politics and the kind of very sensitive skin that the black Democrats show on a regular basis, that they haven't picked up on how insulting and demeaning the idea that they can't obtain ID is to them when it comes from the Democrats.
Yeah, boy, well said. What's the feedback? I mentioned that that you do talk radio. What's the feedback that you hear from people when you talk about stuff related to Eric Holder and the president, and especially what we just talked about here on America Tonight?
Well, I think, you know, so my show is once a week, so people kind of have to, it's like you're cramming a whole lot into 2 hours, you know, because if you're 5 days a week, you have time to really explore things and you can interview more than one person. So I'm 2 hours once a week. But that being said, I really feel like I take an opportunity to kind of poke fun and laugh at some of it because it's the end of the week, it's Saturday night, and people need to view politics from, you know, a lighter lens. But it is, it's a kind of a suspension of belief where people, they actually can't believe that we're sitting here in America today and the sitting Attorney General of the United States, the chief law enforcement officer of the land, his excuse for not winning over Americans to his policy positions and his argument is that people don't like him because he's black. It really defies imagination. It's like, you know, I know children who, I have a child, we have three children, but one of my children, who I think she was born part lawyer, she could come up with just pages of reasoning why someone didn't like something that she did, and she would just put him to shame, and she's 11, you know, so I think it takes a lot of, it just takes a lot away from people when they think every weekend they're greeted with another member of the Obama administration who happens to be black, who is saying, well, it's because of our race, when they're sitting in these positions of ultimate authority and power over us, and they really could be doing amazing things for Americans.
Yeah. All right, perfect way to wrap this up. I can't wait to see what happens with that child who you say already is like a lawyer.
I'm going to keep in touch with you. She wants to be a chef and an FBI agent. I'm not sure what's going to happen.
I love that. Stacey, what a delight. Stacey Washington, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Hi, this is Larry Smith. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, like when the jeweler ruined my ring and wouldn't do anything about it. But when my Legal Shield attorney called him and told him what my rights were, I received a check for over $2,100. Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. Again, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Tonight, we talk a lot about where kids are headed, what happens when they get out of college, what happens in this pathway to being more than just surviving, but being alive, where you hit that high platform. So joining us on the show, please welcome her. She's in our virtual green room. Covey Edwards-Pitt has written a book called Raised Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. And she interviewed a key demographic for the book to, and, you know, these kids that were raised in the 1%, let's say, and the success in life that they've had and those who don't have success in life. And why is that? Because, you know, automatically, and I can hear this in the nooks and crannies, people say, well, it's that you had the silver spoon and you had all the opportunity. But I think there's more to this story, especially when we talk about financial markets and whatnot. Covey, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
So what, first of all, what drove you, I mean, and this is your baby, you know, wealth management and all that. What drove you to write this kind of book?
Sure. Well, so I've been in this career for about 10 years, and when clients come to me, they tend to think their biggest problem is whether they will achieve investment returns that will preserve their wealth. But what's really interesting is no matter how great a job any advisor does for wealthy families with their investments, over 70% of wealthy families fail to successfully pass their money on to their children. And that's because the kids are not prepared to know how to deal with that money. So this is actually a huge issue for my clients, how to raise kids who are productive and motivated and self-sufficient on their own. And it's also a very emotionally charged issue for me because I've had to help a lot of kids who are struggling with that. So I wanted to try to get it right.
So, and getting it right, what did you find? What are the biggest challenges? I mean, how do you reduce that number? What wasn't working with the kids who weren't able to take the launching pad and make some success with it?
Yeah, well, so what comes out in these interviews is that there are four critical success factors, as I call them in the book, that all of the people that I interviewed who were successful shared. And that was that they had demonstrated the ability to earn their own money and live off of that money largely, even if they accepted some help from family. Two was they could set and pursue their own career goals. Third was that they had a self-worth that was independent of their family's money, their influence or affluence. And fourth was that they had a resilience, a hard-earned resilience, not one that was just sort of bought for them. And so most of this book is about how you develop those success factors in kids. And it's really applicable not just to the 1%, as you said, but beyond.
Yeah, so, and listening to what you said, pursuing goals, self-worth, that is huge for kids, isn't it?
It is. It's huge. And something that was really poignant that I heard from the interviewees were, you know, they grew up with a lot of money, but it wasn't until they earned their own dollar and bought something with that dollar that they earned that they really appreciated the thing that they had. And I thought that was so fascinating because these are kids who are surrounded with a lot of luxury.
Yeah, so is there an importance here as far as when they have the ability to earn, obviously, that's what you're discovering. If somebody could earn it on their own, you can get all this stuff. It's kind of like when somebody gives you something for free. Like if you're, it's like being in radio. People want to offer you gym memberships and other things like
right.
that. But do you go, I mean, that's a weird example, but do you go and do you, wow, I'm hitting the gym hard. Isn't this incredible? Or is there something about, hey, when you have to earn it yourself, there is just a difference.
There's just a difference. It's very eye-opening, not just the volume of the money. You know, there was an example that a lot of parents struggle with in some shape or form was a child who had put some dollars on the parent's credit card that were not approved. And what the parents did was they made her earn it back. They made her clean out some horse stalls for $7 an hour for 40 hours a week. It took her 4 weeks of her summer that she was going to have, you know, a lot more fun doing something else doing to earn that money back that she had just sort of blown through in 2 weekends. And it's that combination of both the self-pride of earning it, but also real self-awareness of, gee, that, you know, it takes a lot of work to earn money. So.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. We're talking to Covey Edwards-Pitt. And by the way, she's been recognized as one of the top 50 women in wealth management. And you know, what a career, obviously, that you've had. And you've climbed the ladder, so you know what that's like. And now somebody told me the other day, it's not like a ladder anymore. You started at Goldman Sachs. You went to Harvard. And at Harvard, it's not a layup when you're at Harvard either, is it? A lot of people seem to think that, but once you step through those gates, boom, that's it. You got it made.
Yeah, no, that's not exactly what happens. I mean, certainly you could try to coast through the whole thing, but what you realize is you're surrounded by a ton of talented kids. You know, I think a lot of kids come to Harvard thinking, hey, I'm pretty great. You know, I was the best in whatever thing I came from, and then you're surrounded by people who look just like you and are probably really much better at something else that you've never even done. So it's a wake-up call, and it shows you that you need to really work hard to excel kind of no matter where you go. There's a whole section in the book about how important those first jobs are when you get out and that kids these days often hear, do what you're passionate about. And that's a great message, but it needs to be coupled with that might take a while to figure out what your passion is. In the meantime, you know, see every job as a learning opportunity and give it your all. So kids don't kind of just sit there hoping that their passion will alight on them someday.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't tend to happen.
That's good advice. So of all the, when you interviewed the kids, what was the biggest eye-opening moment, I guess, of all of them that you experienced?
Well, the thing about the dollar earned, not appreciating something until they earn their own money, that was very interesting to me. It was also very interesting to me. A lot of kids told me that it was the very uncertainty about how much money they would inherit that motivated them to work hard. They said that if they had better understood, or if they understood that the money they would inherit would be sufficient for them never to have to work, it might become very hard for them to motivate. And that was particularly true in creative careers, when you have to get up and try to work on this novel that you're working on, and it's really hard to motivate. One of the people I interviewed said the fact that he doesn't know how much he's going to earn makes him think he's got to sell something he writes, and that's what gets him up in the morning.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up the word sell, because I think everybody at some point in your life, you end up selling. Do you think that's true?
I do think that's true. I think that in my career, we don't sell products. We sell ourselves. We sell our advice, and what we are hoping is that people will like us and trust us, and then they will want to hear from us and our advice. So there is selling in every aspect. You're needing to build a career and an expertise that's sufficient to make people want to pay for that in some way.
Yeah. Do you find that, especially in the entrepreneurial fields, I think then, and probably for some of the younger people, this might be what you're talking about, where, hey, pursue your passion, because you're right, everything that you pick up, everything you touch, that's what you read. If you pursue your passion and you just keep going, eventually it will all kick in for you. But I think it's tougher now for entrepreneurs, and especially in these creative fields, because we can't all create apps and think that we're going to make $50 million on that. And I think sometimes there's kind of a fantasy element. Did you find that disconnect with any of the kids that you talked to?
Well, what I did see related to that is the power of something as simple as a high school job. A lot of these kids I interviewed had kind of real, what I would call real high school jobs, minimum wage, kind of mall jobs. And what they did, not only did they meet people who were really living on a minimum wage versus earning it for a summer, but they experienced the hard experience of working for someone else. For a lot of these kids, this is the first time they had someone giving them orders other than a parent, someone who didn't have to love them as a parent. And that can be a very illuminating experience. And I say to people, even if you think your kid is destined for Mark Zuckerberg-like greatness, it's still a very useful experience to work for someone else, because there's no better training ground to be a fantastic leader than to have experience working for a boss, whether it's a good boss or sometimes even better, a bad boss, and you learn how not to act.
Yeah, boy, that's true. So you decide you're going to put the book together, and obviously you had a lot of success in the financial field. But when you jump into writing, it could be much more difficult than people think. You have to have some discipline. Was it tough for you on some days?
It was tough. I mean, I really enjoy writing, actually. I used to write in college. I used to write movie reviews, of all things. And in some ways, this whole experience of writing, and now I'm doing some blog posting, has been kind of freeing of that whole side of my personality, which has been nice. And sometimes, speaking of the word passionate, this is a topic I tend to be very passionate about. So in some ways, it just kind of rolled out of me. But it certainly, and I had to get out of the office to be able to really think. I did some of my best work in coffee shops, funny enough, just because, I could really concentrate for extended periods of time.
All right, the book is called Raised Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, and you can get it on Amazon. Covey, good luck with the book, and thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Thanks so much, Kay. I appreciate it.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you are searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terriganics. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.